I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
I don't use it. It may be healthy. I mean, I use other social media platforms. Maybe I'm not a good one to examine the pros and cons of TikTok. Maybe I am. It's not about me anyway. We'll be talking the business side of TikTok today. You know, the platform has come under fire, and you probably know that. It influences children very much in negative ways, too. That power, tremendous. We've talked about that here. There's accusations of illegal data collection and spying by China. Those have also happened through this program here. But high tech and business leaders are voicing concerns that an outright ban on TikTok may be a step too far. We talk about that here today on Voices of Montana. Saskia, and that's it's cool. And born and raised in Billings, Montana, she is director of social and content media at Campgrounds of America. She's going to be on the program here in just a little bit. Kind of want to set the stage in front of it. I do have to say, you know, looking into this. And we have talked about it. I think, I don't know, I wouldn't say a plenty, but, Austin Knutson was on the program, Governor Greg Gianforte, they were on the program to talk about their objections to TikTok. And a lot of it, of course, is the fact that it comes from China, and without a doubt, China has the ability, because it's in their laws, you know, and there was this recent, hearing. In fact, it was like a 5-hour hearing on Capitol Hill, where they hauled the, when I say it that way, it sounds like, you know, mom's pulling somebody by the ear and getting, you get into Congress right now and testify. But they did haul in the CEO, Chu, is, you know, of TikTok, and they were less than impressed, according to the written reports on it, about his performance there. And they were not at all reassured. They being, again, this comes from the reporting there too. And it's both Republicans and Democrats in Congress that are really, and we saw this in this hearing here. It happened, I should have the exact date. I don't have it right in front of me. Apologies. It was most recent. But anyway, the coverage from that, you know, was this CEO of TikTok, felt, you know, he was being a little bit attacked. There's also some analysts who say that he responded negatively in a lot of ways. But most of them have come to the conclusion that both Republicans and Democrats are unsure. This guy in testimony in front of the Congress had this opportunity to relieve some worries there, but that didn't happen. So there's going to be more and more pressure for an outright ban. Now, I know Montana is considering that as well. In fact, as I mentioned, I have too many papers scrambled out in front of me here. I did pull up the press release, but it was a while back. There's a Senate bill, I think it's 419, that is in Montana that's addressing an outright ban of TikTok. And providers would prohibit the operation of TikTok in Montana by the company and users, internet service providers from offering TikTok, and mobile application stores from providing the option to download the application. This bill also, internet service providers and companies that violate that ban could face a $10,000 fine per day for each violation. It's real serious, and it's on the other side of the Senate now and into the House. And so there's a lot, it's very serious. And why is it serious? Because TikTok has, for number one, and I think this is the biggest concern, it's not really talked about too much, but there was certain reports on it. You saw Social Dilemma. I think that movie, I think you saw it, or maybe you certainly heard about it. I did catch that movie. There was a couple of other movies One produced from a company here in Montana that we had talked about too, that talk about the dangers and the methods for platforms like TikTok. And if you're really curious about it, I would recommend those. They're very informative. The thing about it is that, again, kids can shut their door and no matter what time of day it is, pick up their phone, middle of the night, start scrolling, start running into trouble. And that has happened. And these algorithms lead kids, especially, into, and I know they're just doing it, math is not evil. And that's what algorithm is, but there is certainly intent in the way it's applied. And there's been a lot of pushback on China because number one, they don't allow their own children in China to use TikTok. This is a Chinese company. ByteDance is the owner of TikTok. And just to get it out there in case I ramble on and don't, China does have laws that would legally, and of course in China, I don't know what the definition of legal means anyway, because they're a communist country and they'll come in and whatever they want to do, they will do and pretend that there was a law on it later. It's really a really horrible form of government, especially when it comes to, the human condition. But they've got this thing called Douyin, and it's just like TikTok, but it vastly, vastly restricts the kind of content that you can see on TikTok. And I know there are areas where you can get in there and make settings. Those are never foolproof either. That's one thing, right? In terms of how this is hurting our kids, and China doesn't care a ton about it. They'll protect their own youth. So who's it up to protect our kids? It's up to us, right? I think there's a lot of reason behind this, and I'm okay with that. How does China see it? How is it a security threat? There's 150 million Americans using TikTok, and they're using it every day. There's a lot of course, data is king nowadays. Anyway, all of that information, every bit of information that you had put on or a company had put on, this platform could be taken right by the Chinese government and used for, well, I guess, are you going to ask that question? What are they going to use it for? That gets into understanding of data beyond my ability really to expound on here. But information is key nowadays. And it's just, it's people who are very concerned about all the advantages that the country, that China has. They're not trying to really limit pollution. They're not falling under international law when it comes to expansion of their country. I don't know. I don't want to make this about China. What we're going to talk about here, so good solid reasons for it. What we're going to talk about here is how do we navigate this? Because businesses are using TikTok like crazy. And one of them is based here in Montana. They've got over 500 locations in North America. And it's really cool. I don't know if you've ever been to a KOA, a Campground of America. I would hope you have. I would assume you have. I have never been to a bad one, I'll tell you that. They use this platform for legitimate business purposes, and it's very effective in their marketing. How do you restrict access to this platform without violating privacy rights, free speech rights? I know there's data privacy concerns as well that are mixed into this, but how do you do that and then still allow businesses to operate? And again, it's the response out there is that there are other platforms, but this one speaks specifically to and is used specifically by a targeted group. We'll get more into that, all right? I'm going to take that break here in just a little bit. I want to make sure this is potted up, though. Cody Ross went out on the streets just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and talked to some folks about TikTok, to just to kind of get their general impressions on how much they use it or whatever it is they were willing to offer on it. And we've got a couple of, I've got four of those right now that I'm going to play in succession. This is just some folks who have commented on the street. So word on the street. Thanks, Cody, for that on this TikTok debate.
I do use TikTok. TikTok's the only social media I use, actually, and I like TikTok, but it is kind of scary to think what could be happening with it.
There is a concern, you know, because everyone's like, oh, they take your information and they gather all your information from all different platforms. And that's a little scary to have, like, the idea that somebody might have, like, that information of mine.
I have an account, but I don't use it a lot. But I could see, you know, with technology and electronics, how they could say that it could be used against us or how they could do it. I don't know if they are, but it could be. I would definitely say that the governments should probably stay away from it. There's enough other social media platforms out there that they can use.
Just the opinions of folks on the street and whether they're, well, one does use it almost exclusively in terms of social media and then varying degrees of use. But also, I think you've heard them express a certain concern about it, too, when it comes to data privacy. And that's part of this bigger conversation that we need to get into here is how do it in the marketplace, how do we fairly use data and information without crossing a line, so to speak? Still lots to be answered on that. We'll take a break and come on back and get into it here then. Saskia Boogman will join us again, raised in Billings, Montana. Leading expert on brand, social media, and external content, and director of social and content at Campgrounds of America. Back with more from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Don't forget, is it tomorrow? Yeah, the 29th. There will be that Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Observance at the Capitol Complex. Starts at 10 o'clock. We'll start with a veterans walk, and then it'll end up the wreath laying at the Freedom Tree, which is on the south lawn of the Capitol. And note out here, too, Wolfhound Proud, I'll be giving you a call here. Brian Bennett has headline news upcoming. Hunters, crossbowers, are you a crossbow hunter or would like to be? There's a bill at Senate 298. Brian will have more information on that as it makes its way through this 68th legislature. Let's welcome our guest here now as we get into this. Saskia Boogman is with us. She is with Campgrounds of America. Again, like I say, KOA. Never had a bad stay. She's the director of social and content there at Campgrounds of America. Good morning, Saskia. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing today, Tom?
Doing good. Hanging in there. Looking forward to the sunshine and my next KOA stop.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you haven't had any bad stays. Hopefully that doesn't change. If it does, don't call me.
Yeah, I will. No, that's it. I've got you now, okay? Phone number, email address.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm calling you immediately, too. So, yeah. No. Hey, thanks for being here and doing this. You know, I have to admit, not a lot of people have wanted to I shouldn't put it that way. I've reached out to a couple, and they would be wanting to get on and address this from the business side of things, but they haven't. I guess it's controversial in that way. So thank you for doing that. What's the main message behind, I know we need a larger conversation, but in terms of what's going on right now in this country with TikTok, what's your main message?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of things to consider. I think first, one thing that you mentioned was other people not really wanting to talk about it. I think there is a little bit of a misunderstanding about TikTok. It is relatively new in terms of social platforms. When we look at sort of where businesses are established, Facebook is going to be the first. I mean, that's been around since, you know, 2009 really for business. So, I mean, that has a lot of time under its belt, and TikTok is a lot newer. And yeah, there are some questions because, as a lot of people probably know at this point, TikTok is owned by a parent company called ByteDance that is located in China. TikTok, interestingly, is actually not even registered or available in China. It's registered in the Cayman Islands. But it's a lot newer, but it does have these ties that make people say, hey, should I be worried about what's happening with my information? Which I think is important that people are thinking about that and asking that question. But really, for me, having a lot of experience in this arena, it goes a lot further. And, you know, I say, is TikTok sort of that kind of red herring that is just the thing that people are talking about now when there's really a larger issue about data and privacy in general?
Let's see how, let's explore how business, perhaps, and whether it's specifically the Campgrounds of America, you've got experience. You're going to know how businesses and the enterprise and retailer are going to kind of respond here. Where is the responsibility to protect consumers' privacy, to fairly utilize consumers' data? Because I think some of that is fair to utilize, and I think the public is willing to say, well, yeah, name, even address or phone number. I mean, as long as they have a choice in this regard, how are we developing the ethics behind trying to understand this from that retail standpoint?
Absolutely. I think, first of all, it's important to say that TikTok has been very clear about some commitments they've had with data. So I think knowing that about them, they've been very transparent in far as saying, hey, we're going to move U.S. user data to Oracle servers in the U.S., which they did in 2022. And they've had some very clear commitments about, hey, how we're going to use your data and what we will use and what we will not. And you can find all of that very easily online. But I think a larger conversation is, hey, when you are using social of any kind, there's sort of this kind of cliche saying, when you're not paying for something, you are the product. And to a degree, that's really true. So I think it's important to know that the U.S. does not have data privacy laws like Europe does. So Europe has GDPR, which is a pretty stringent guideline in terms of what people can do with your data and your information. Now, I will say most of the data that is collected through social media is going to be things like your name, where you're located, the things that you're interacting with and things you're interested in. And those are the things that businesses like KOA and many, many others are using to get you content that you like, whether that is organic content or a paid ad. So this is like the stuff when you're out there and feeling like, hey, I am all of a sudden getting a KOA ad after I search for KOA. So that's data that we can use. I don't know that it's you. I can't see that Tom searched KOA, but I can say, hey, I want to serve ads to people that searched for camping and or KOA. Now, there's some things that are a little more like, ooh, that's kind of weird. So, for example, those times that you feel like Facebook is listening to your conversations and then that pops up, so not something I typed into the app itself, but something I said, yes, that really does exist, and that's a little more invasive, if you will. Feels a little icky. I don't even like that, and this is the world that I'm in. But, you know, there is some information that you're sharing that these platforms are trying to utilize to provide you more information that you like so that you stay on their platforms longer. And at this point, TikTok is kind of the best at that. So there are 150 million Americans using TikTok, and they're using it for an average of 90 minutes a day. I think most people are using it much more, and not just young kids. A lot of older users are starting to join TikTok as well, and we're actually seeing the most growth in ages between 30 and 45.
Saskia Boogman is with us again, Director of Social and Content at Campgrounds of America. I very much appreciate that. I'm going to come back. I mean, there was a lot to kind of go into, and I thought it was very well put. I want to come back and talk about one of the things that you're noting as well, that we have an entire industry of data brokers who are selling information. It's useful in some ways because, as you described, the information that you use in a generic way and in a very useful way can be manipulated by others out there. And how do you create lines that are clear and that we can adjudicate? We'll take a break and come on back. Saskia Boogman again with us here from Campgrounds of America.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Again, we're talking about TikTok here, whether this outright ban is what's needed. Is there some form of it that would, appeal to business as well as those who are concerned about data privacy, as well as those who are concerned, and I have very much concerns about this too, the influence that especially is on our children here. Again, that's a huge topic, and we're talking about that with Saskia Boogman here, Director of Social and Content at Campgrounds of America. Saskia, appreciate you being on. I'm going to give a couple of text messages out here, and then we'll go from there. It's 781-627-5483 on the text side of things, but if you want to call, it's 866-627-5483. There is no safe venue on the internet. Once you put any information on the internet, whether it be social media, banking, shopping, it's up for grabs. I'm going to kind of agree with that. Maybe not so much up for grabs, but when you're putting information out there, you're going to have to recognize, where it's going. And then for a minute there, I could have sworn we were talking about Google or Facebook. I guess those are the two big ones on the deck here when it comes to data use. Saskia, the public's perception of this is something that we're all walking through, I guess. How does it affect you in your position as Director of Social and Content at Campgrounds of America?
Absolutely. I mean, it absolutely affects us. So the main part of my job is social strategy and then content strategy. So that's like blogs and that kind of thing, written content. But one of the largest parts of what I do is planning the entire social strategy for K-Way as a brand. So we've got 500 locations across the U.S. and Canada, and it's my job to say, hey, what are we putting out there, and where are we going to be? So obviously our biggest platform for a long time has been Facebook, mostly because of longevity, but we moved into TikTok within about the last year, and it's grown for us incredibly quickly. It's been grown for us very authentically, so it's been a great channel for us. But of course, when there's these larger conversations, as a brand, it's important for us to say, hey, is this a spot for us to be, and how will we shift if things change?
I mean,
we're not going to get off of social if TikTok becomes banned. We'll just go somewhere else. But you kind of mentioned something, one of those texts, about if you're on the internet, your information is out there. Like, absolutely, that's true. I mean, we see large data breaches every day, all the time. And I think it's important to note that there's not a lot of regulation even around that. I mean, we'll hear about, oh, my credit card information got out there in the world, but what about those repercussions? And that's where we get back to there not being a lot of laws and restrictions around your data and your privacy, which on social is one thing. When it's your banking information, it's another. But it's all part of that same coin and conversation. So the current bills, which we kind of say, hey, this is just to restrict TikTok. So there's two, and then they're reintroducing a third, which will, that third bill is just an outright ban of the channel. But the first two are a little more concerning. So there's the Data Act and the Restrict Act. And I think it's really important that people actually take the time to know what those are, because they go far, they're more far-reaching than just TikTok or even just social platforms. In the Restrict Act, it even talks about the ability to use your camera data, like a Ring camera, and use that information. So there's a lot wider considerations there that actually don't necessarily protect our privacy, but utilize it even more. So those bills are a little scary, but I do think if there's an outright ban on TikTok, we'll be ready and we'll just move somewhere else. I mean, that's kind of the reality of business. Where you do well and where it works for you is going to change every day in any type of advertising or media. It's always a moving target, if you will.
Yeah. And I very much appreciate that you know, doing this program and thanks to some of those talking points you've sent me, you know, inform me about this Restrict Act, because all we're, I think, top of mind aware is that let's ban TikTok. But there, this does go a little bit deeper, as we see, as Congress has a want to do. So we're going to explore that. The question I'll ask when I come on back with Saskia Boogman is, where would be a good place to start? We got to have this conversation about protecting our privacy and fair usage of some data. Where is a good place to start? We're back with more on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
It's a threat. It's a tool. There's the good, bad, and the ugly when it comes to our understanding of it, perhaps. But the actual application themselves, it's algorithms. It's math. How are we going to manage moving forward with TikTok, and with Facebook, and with Google using our information? What's fair? What is what's across the boundary? Yeah, that's still, a lot of these questions need to be answered. And some of these things do take time. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, Tom Schultz alongside as we are digging into it here. It's the business side of these proposals out there to ban TikTok. We've talked with the governor. We've talked with the attorney general. We've talked with some lawmakers about it as well. Saskia Boogman is with us, director of social and content at Campgrounds of America. They've got 500 locations throughout North America. They've been around since 1962, and they're based right here, Montana. Really, really love that. You guys got to love living here and working in Montana, don't you, Saskia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was born and raised in Billings and, you know, graduated from high school and did everything I could to not be in Billings, because you know how that is. You just want to get away from your parents. But I am back, and I love being in Montana. It's a great place for sure.
Well, and you guys, your headquarters is in Butte, America, isn't it?
No, we're here in Billings.
Oh, okay.
So the first KOA was on the Yellowstone River, started by a guy named Dave Drum, who was an entrepreneur at heart and said, hey, I've got land and people are going to the World's Fair and they need a place to stay. And that was the first KOA. We're still here in Billings helping entrepreneurs all over the U.S. Run their own campgrounds. So it's a pretty cool job.
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful that you guys are here in Montana, and I'm happy for you, too. Let's get back into this. I left asking the question, where would be a good place to start to have this discussion? In answering that, maybe go into that Data Act and that Restrict Act that kind of tells us this is not the good place to start, at least from your standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question, right? I think one thing that sort of happened is, as much as it feels like social media has always been a part of our lives, this is something that happened, and we're looking in historical context fairly recently, and grew very, very quickly. And like so many things often do, you don't think about, hey, what are the sort of implications and things we need to put in place to make sure that information is not used incorrectly. And I think that's one place to start. As you had mentioned earlier, these data brokers. So there is a whole industry in the U.S. that doesn't exist in other parts of the world, where companies are buying and selling our information. And these are companies, that's all that they do. So I think for me, I would say, hey, there needs to be more regulation there. Like, there are people out there that are just selling my name and my address and all of these things all the time. Now, of course, as your text there mentioned, when you're online, that's sort of what you sign up for a little bit, but the government should also do some work to sort of protect us from that. And in a lot of other developed countries, they are doing that. Now, I think when we look at the Restrict Act and the Data Act, you think, you know, oh, this is a good thing. We're doing something. We're starting something. But in that Restrict Act in particular, so basically if any company that does online commerce, basically is in online of any kind, all the way down to if it's somebody providing security for your home, anything that is connected to the internet basically and has over 1 million users, if they are owned outside of the U.S. or if they are any part of their product is run or has connections outside of the U.S. So it could be so much as Google having some company that they work for being located in China or Russia or somewhere that the U.S. has deemed adversarial. They can be shut down at any time. That goes into a committee. There's a secretary, and there's no oversight at all. It's just this is turned off. And one thing that I think is especially concerning is the largest fines and retribution in these things is for not the companies, but for the consumer.
Yeah.
You can be fined as a consumer up to like $200,000 for accessing something that you shouldn't, which feels a little bit, to me, big brothery, a little strange.
Draconian.
Yes, a bit. And to me, I feel like they're putting a lot of onus on the public when we're still not solving that initial problem of how companies can harvest and use our information. I would say for the most part, like a company like KOA, we're obviously not out here using your information for anything nefarious. But there are a lot of companies and a lot of people that are not KOA. And those are the things that I would worry about personally and things that I think about when I'm using social platforms or even Google.
And I got a text message here that launches us into another question. I think that's fair. Check the Utah new law on social media, like using the word kids instead of correctly using the expression undeveloped brains of minors. I'm not sure exactly how that relates. Maybe that's something, some language in the law itself, but Montana needs to raise the age requirements up to 18. That Utah law, Saskia, which you can probably talk about, just essentially gets parents involved for minor children when it comes to even putting these apps on their phones. I do want to, before you go into that, mention, you know, as you talked about, these fines are rather heavy. $10,000 for violations in Montana up to per day. I know some of that can be waived, but I would think as we are walking this out and trying to figure things out, we need less. I know you have to put some bite into it, but as we transition, hopefully with some understanding into a good place, maybe it's a slap on the hand and get pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is the user the person that should be fined, or is it these companies? I think that's one thing. But you mentioned that Utah law. So basically that law is around children's access to things online. Social media is part of that, of course. And I think that opens up an important conversation about how involved parents and or the government should be in what kids access. I absolutely think that it is important to limit social media access for children. I think once you get in the teenagers, maybe that's a bit different, but that is an important decision to make as a parent. I think I personally have some questions if the government should be instituting those things. I think there's a little bit of responsibility of whose place is that, but absolutely the internet in general is full of a lot of information I wouldn't want my kids to see, and I don't even have kids. So I think that's obviously an important consideration too. Like, how are children accessing these things? What are they seeing? And as a parent, you need to be very, very involved. You wouldn't let a kid just turn on the TV and flip to HBO. So why would you just give them a phone and say, here's Facebook, here's TikTok, go at it. You wouldn't do that. It's just,
yeah.
We have to be very, very mindful in general.
It's like covering our eyes to this, and it's been going on for a long time, where we, you know, just as you said, we restrict fairly restrict access to some things, but yet wide open is all of the, there's a lot of gunk on the internet too. And it does have a bad impact. We'll talk, I think, a little more on that on Thursday here on Open Phones. Let me ask this question. It might be the last one we get a chance to get to here. Saskia Boogman again with us here, Director of Social and Content at Campgrounds of America. How do we shield ourselves then? Where can we inoculate our data completely from the enemies who want to use it in a nefarious way?
I mean, the simple answer is if you're accessing the internet, no. I think what we can do is we can be very mindful of the websites we're signing up for, where we're putting in our credit card information, and even how much you share on your Facebook. It can be as simple as saying, hey, are my posts going out publicly, or do I want only my friends to see that? I mean, that's a little thing, but those are things you can think about as well. I mean, Facebook is the largest user of personal data in social. Google is right up there if we're just looking at the internet in general. You just have to be very aware that when you are on the internet, you are not private, even if you are using a private browser. So I think just being mindful and saying, hey, what do I want to share? And then I also think it's important to be aware of kind of those silos, like you mentioned, there's a lot of gunk out there. So being a critical thinker and saying, hey, is this information accurate? Can I check this information? I think you just need to be a very conscientious user of the internet, just like you would do when you are, you know, reading and ingesting news, or even going out in public and talking with people. We're always thinking about the things we share, and the internet should be no different.
What do you think, and maybe you guys haven't totally established it yet, because we're this is an ongoing conversation, but what are those good silos? What do you think, from a business standpoint, is information that is fair for you to use from the user's standpoint?
Yeah, so as I kind of mentioned a little bit of what KOA does in terms of advertising on social, we're just going to utilize things that you have chosen to share. So, for example, I can target people that enjoy camping or enjoy RVing within a particular radius. Those are the things that we're going to use, and most businesses are going to just stick to that. They're going to talk. They're going to look at some of your demographic information, what age are you, where are you located, and then some of your interests. And that is not stuff that we have, like, gone and found. That's just things that Facebook or Instagram or TikTok allows us to use to kind of target ads to you based on things that you have chosen to share. I'll actually say, which is interesting, TikTok makes that the most difficult to do. So on TikTok, if you're serving an ad, basically all that you can do is look at an age group and look at certain areas. Now, I will say there are some rules around if you're advertising to kids, but those are actually still pretty lax. We just advertise to adults here, so not something that I do, but I mean, this conversation could go on for days.
Well, we do have to get a handle on it.
We absolutely do. I agree with you. And you know, we use TikTok. If it goes away tomorrow, we will shift our strategies, and that's fine. But so ultimately, for me, this conversation isn't just about a single platform. I think we're being small-minded by doing that.
Right.
And the internet's going to continue to change, and tomorrow there'll be a new platform that we're talking about. This is just the one that is the hot topic now.
Well, tell me then, I've got just a minute here, and thank you for sharing this information. I don't know, I know that there's, one of my colleagues mentioned Shauna Whitebear, Whitebear Moccasins. I know there's also a campaign going on. I think TikTok, they're pushing back. Are other business organizations, how is that push? The CEO of TikTok didn't do himself any favors when he appeared before Congress, apparently. I mean, that's the general analysis there. How's that pushback going from the business community? Are we going to ban outright and then maybe try to fix it from there? Or what do you think?
That's a great question. I think we still ultimately don't know. I do think TikTok is a very easy channel for small businesses. You mentioned the moccasin company that you've seen on ads here in Montana. Those ads are specifically because there is also a ban just in Montana that's been proposed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to reach people that are outside of your kind of fan group. I think we don't have a good answer in terms of what will happen there. People will shift back to probably other platforms. Unfortunately, on platforms like Instagram and TikTok, as a small business, you have to spend money, whereas on TikTok, you don't necessarily have to reach people. So I think for them, it is concerning. And I would be afraid if I was a small business that had made a bunch of money on TikTok and grown a fan base. So it is a conversation of, well, what happens next for people like those? For a big company like KOA, where we've got a large fan base across many social networks, it's not as big of a deal for us. You know, we'll just shift that content somewhere else and we'll just move on. That conversation is not as easy for everybody.
How is KOA doing? People were camp. Well, we stayed home and then we got out like crazy. How are things going now?
I mean, honestly, camping is, we are happy campers in camping. You mentioned COVID-19 a little bit. We were all trapped inside. Well, camping was one of the first things that a lot of places kind of allowed to open back up in terms of travel, because you're naturally socially distanced. You know, you can bring your own RV with your own stuff. So camping fared pretty well the second half of 2020, and 2021 was K-Way's best year on record by almost 32%. So very good year, and we've kind of set a new normal from there. So camping is going strong. We're seeing a lot of investments in new campgrounds, which I think is exciting. And we're out here, and we're a preferred way to travel for millions of people across the U.S. and Canada. So it's a good time to be a campground owner, for sure.
Yeah. Saskia, thank you for the conversation. We'll continue this as well, okay?
Thank you. I'll be back anytime, and it was so great to talk to you today, Tom.
And our perspectives will change a little bit, too, as it moves along, whether these bills
Absolutely.
Pass or not. We'll learn along the way, so please keep us informed, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, and happy camping. Got to say that as well. All right, Saskia Boogman, thank you very much.